Sheep. My neighbor used to raise sheep. And when he was gone, you know, it was my job to go over and take care of the sheep on the weekend or for a week, whatever it was. Now, we were cattle. And most loathsome creatures on the planet are sheep to cattlemen. You know how your mind blots out bad memories? I don't remember taking care of those sheep. Sheep. One goes, they all go. Helpless. Get in my house. Shepherd's got to live right down with the sheep. North Central Montana, there is a big ranch called the Circle C. A guy by the name of Cogburn came from Scotland to Canada, hit a big strike in the Last Chance Gulch in Helena, used that to purchase property, Grass Range, Montana. Chief Joseph came through. He went out and single-handedly just walked out to meet Chief Joseph. Chief Joseph gave him and his family a nice beaver pelt thing. Went on to purchase a ranch north of the Missouri River. He had the property between the Missouri River and the Milk River and 60 miles east and west. Best cattle country in the world, he said. But times got hard. Had to start raising sheep. Had some old Mexican sheep herders and come in, and those guys get right down, they live with the sheep. Smelled like the sheep. Sheep. A lot of care. Shepherds really got to care for sheep. I mean, imagine you got your sheep wagon down there and you're having to get down. I mean, yeah, they're helpless. You know, Katie and I were watching a little video of, talking about an area around Shechem, Sychar, Jacob's Well. Shepherds have to pull that water up out of those wells and get the water to the sheep. Just sheep are a lot of work. Feeding them, watering, caring for them. If you don't like sheep, you're not going to be a shepherd. That's Montana, folks. It's not shepherds, it's sheep herders. A bunch of sheep herders. Had Bible studies with the lady. She was a graduate of Big Timber, Montana High School. Big Timber, Montana, sheep herders. Sheep. A lot of care. Wallies. I was herding cattle outside of Wilsall, Montana. And about the middle of July, I looked off to the south and about 10,000 head of sheep coming. Sheep herder had his jeep, a sheep wagon behind. He had three dogs. And he was directing those dogs. Couldn't bring them up into the high country until after middle July because there's a nice little plant called larkspur, I think down in city areas they call it giant delphinium or something, but larkspur. Poisonous to sheep. Kill them. Had to wait till that was all dead and dried out. The sheep herder had to know when that was before he started bringing the sheep up to that pasture. Had to get salt up high so the sheep would go up and graze. The sheep, they tend to take the easiest way all the time. Tend to stay down on the bottom ground where there's, you know, the water is, maybe some willows. You got to put the salt up high. You got to run them out of there all the time. Get them up grazing. Every night when I'm getting ready to go to sleep after herding cattle, that's an honorable profession, the coyotes will be howling. Maybe one coyote sound like 15. How do you think coyotes and sheep get along? Sheep, absolutely defenseless. Coyotes, sheep herder is going to have to keep those coyotes off that sheep. They're running some anti-trapping ads for state of Montana, you know, trapping hurts, you know. Had a picture of a little wolfie, the cutest little wolfie you ever saw. You know, of course, Katie, she's a farm girl from Oregon. She said, bet they never saw a pen after the wolves went through. Pen of sheep after the wolves went through. My neighbor one time, dogs came through, pack of dogs came through. There wasn't a sheep left. What could the sheep do? They're defenseless. I mean, they don't have horns. They don't have sharp hoofs. They can't growl. Defenseless. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder. He understood. Witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory to be revealed. Shepherd, pastor. Shepherd and pastor are exact equivalents, verb or noun. Shepherd the flock of God among you. Exercise an oversight. Bishop. Bishop, overseer. Same thing. Elder, pastor, bishop, just interchangeable terms for the same guys. Different descriptions, obviously. I mean, an elder isn't an 18-year-old guy with a name tag. Elder's got some gray showing up in his beard and whatever hair he has left. Elder, older guy. Overseer. Somebody can, you know, we need a little more salt over there. You know, the feed's getting a little thin here. I think we're going to have to move. I'm going to have to move them over here. Probably Tuesday. Overseer. Make sure the dogs are all organized. You know, talk to the dogs, you know, you and you. And I say, go, you know. You think sheepers don't talk to their dogs? Well, who else are they going to talk to? I mean, dogs look like they're paying attention. Shepherd. Shepherd. Flock of God. Exercise that oversight, he said, not under compulsion. Oh, voluntarily, you got to be something you want to do. always interesting when Paul writes to Timothy about it. He said, you know, if anybody aspires to the office of overseer, it's a fine W-O-R-K. A lot of guys, you know, I think elder, I think this station my life here, you know, successful businessman, you know, family, pretty well, right? I think adding elder to my resume would be a good thing. You know, that's about time the handshaking, the back slapping, you know, politicking get started, you know. I've seen it too many times. I've seen guys that pretty good contributors, you know, somehow manage to be elders. Yeah. Work. Sheep take a lot of work. You got to get down there with them. You got to live with them. Laugh with them. Cry with them. That takes a lot of work. A lot of care. Got to want to do that. Can't be about position. Anytime it's about position, when you got selfish ambition. See, I call it position ambition. When you got selfish ambition, there is going to be disorder in every evil thing. Wisdom from above is first pure. It's got the right motives, right intent. See, anytime somebody got some position ambition, then you're going to have vision collision. And things are going to come apart. Things are going to come apart. Voluntarily. According to the will of God. Can't be for sordid gain. I mean, elders to be paid, you know. Elders that work hard at teaching and preaching and worthy of what? Double honor, right? But can't be for the money. I mean, how high paying a job do you think sheep herding is anyway? You know, something hardly anybody wants to do. Eagerness, yeah. Got to, you know, something you look forward to every day. You know. What kind of sheep herding got to be done today? What do we need? Where do we need it? How are we going to get it done? Think ahead. Eagerness, yeah. There's something. Because why? I care for the sheep. All about the sheep. Care for the sheep. There's elements where the sheep can't care for themselves. Now you take wolves or coyotes. Sometimes the sheep don't know that the wolves or the coyotes are around. I mean, they don't recognize a wolf until it's too late. That's a sheep herder's job. You know, he's the guy that needs to keep an eye out for that stuff. I mean, 2 Peter, he said, you know, there is a lot of false prophets among the people of Israel. He said, same way are going to be false teachers among you. You think there's any congregation here that's immune to false teachers coming in? I mean, most of us are small enough now that the false teachers aren't thinking that it's worth their time yet. Yet. You know, the flock fleecers are pretty good at running calculations. Let's see. I think this may be worth my time. Guys from the law side, Paul said they snuck in. Sneaked in. You know, I prefer Montana English. Snuck in. Snuck in, right? Jude talked about them creeping in on the lawless side. See, you got to look out for the sneakers and the creepers. And that's sheepherder's job. Now, if sheepherder's ignorant, how's he going to do his job? That's why when Paul talks about it to Titus, he talked about you got to be able to exhort in sound doctrine, and you got to be able to refute those who contradict. Now, how are you going to do that as a sheepherder if you haven't been doing a lot of studies? You haven't been out there seeking and saving the lost. What makes you think you're going to care for the sheep if you don't care for the lost before they become sheep? Well, I guess lost sheep is a good scripture word, isn't it? You got to know what you're doing. The only way you're going to know what you're doing is in the trenches, in the homes, the living rooms, studying. You know, going through hundreds of people to get 10. That's the only way. See, the route to sheepherder and route to evangelist, the same route. Just a little bit different emphasis at the fork in the road. Same route. Had some wannabe elders one time. You know, elders are appointed by evangelists. You know, I got some instructions on that. Acts 13, 14, you know, 1 Timothy, Titus, yeah. It's how you get elders that get appointed by evangelists and not voted by the congregation. Why do you think voting, having congregations vote for elders, why do you think that might be a bad idea? See, that's where the glad handers and the back slappers and the personality plus boys get in as being elders. They're good at it. They're good at it. Appointed by evangelists. And there's quite a bit of instruction. Now, just because a person can get some ticks on the checklist doesn't make them an elder. Gotta love the sheep. Got to want to be in with the sheep. Got to be doing those studies. So these guys wanted to be elders. I don't think I'd appoint any of you guys elders unless you had at least 2,000 individual Bible studies. 2,000! That's a small number. That's a small number. If you do 3 a day for 330 days a year, that's 1,000 right there. Small number. How are you going to know what you're doing if you haven't been doing it? That's a pretty basic question, right? How are you going to exhort in sound doctrine? You really don't know what sound doctrine is. How are you going to refute those who contradict if you haven't been refuting those who do contradict? How are you going to know how to do that from a leadership position? You don't know how to lead, how are you going to lead? No, you don't lord it over those, allot it to your charge. Look, if you've been down there with the sheep and you've been down there working and you've been down where they are, you're not lording it over. You're down there with them. They know you care. They know whether you're about you or whether you're about them. Pretty simple. So that's why it says proven to be examples to the flock. Sheep are quite a bit like log chains. We used to cut timber up in the Tobacco Root Mountains. We'd go up and cut dry pine, dead pine, haul her down to the ranch there, and then when November hit, you know, we'd spend time sawing it up, blocks, and some of it would sell for cordwood in Ennis. But, number one, you got to know what kind of trees you need. Number two, you got to know how to get her down out of there. But we used to have to snake, what we called snake those, you know, you'd fall a tree back in there, and you'd have to get it out over to where the truck was. See? So, you know, you'd have to usually put a log chain around that, and Dad would get his two boys, my brother and I, says, okay, you're stout boys, you're 10 years old, 11 years old, you know, get her out of there. Okay, so you hook the chain around her, and then you snake it out of there. So you lead, and that log chain will kind of follow, right? People like log chain. You try to push a log chain. Say you're trying to get the log chain back there where the log is. How are you going to get it back there? You ain't going to carry it. You're going to snake it. You're going to walk in front of it, and the chain will follow you. You can't push a log chain. You can't push people either. Don't push. He says, don't push him. He says, lead him. Lead him. Prove him to be examples. Those old foghorn, leghorn to say, that sheep herding strategy, boy. Why is this so complex? It's just real life. That's all it is. He said, you do that. He said, Chief Shepherd appears. He's going to give you the unfading crown of glory. Any good evangelist really loves to have some capable, qualified elders working alongside. Great team. God didn't intend the elders to be above the evangelists, and he didn't intend the evangelists to be above the elders. Tend to be a teamwork. A little bit different at the fork of the road. See, a true shepherd, he thinks in terms really of caring for the sheep and making sure that the sheep keep in mind what the purpose of the flock is. See, if the sheep herder hadn't personally had a drive to seek and save the lost, how's he going to make sure the flock keeps the drive to seek and save the lost? Not going to happen. See, so that's why the route is the same, but at some point there's a little bit shift in emphasis. The evangelist, he's still out, 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 more, next. See, at some point the elder, here. See, so both Peter and John were elders. See, at some point, here. Now, Peter said he was writing from Babylon. I think that was a snarky comment about Rome. Babylon at that time wasn't nothing. It's even less now. Oh, the chief shepherd will appear. Quick peek at Hebrews 13, 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Pause there for a second. See, leaders is not just elders, and leaders is not just evangelists. The fact is, sometimes there's leaders that are not either evangelists or elders. You know, Silas, for example, was a leading man among the, in the congregation in Jerusalem, right? So, yeah, there's leaders without having the titles. It's okay. I mean, leadership results when somebody leads. Somebody follows. But the goal, the leaders better make sure they're working in tandem. Now, I worked with guys who decided to be leaders, and they had some leadership ability, and before long, they're leading people over here. Don't do that. Chief shepherd's going to appear. He ain't going to like it. Everybody's got to keep in mind, someday, you know, Paul said to the Christian, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, right? Give an account for the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. It'd be really nice if the account was all good, wouldn't it? You know, you remain faithful. Anything you might have messed up on gets erased from the record. Sins and iniquities get remembered no more. So you can stand confidence on the day of judgment. But if you've been playing some games, all that bad stuff that you hope got erased just shows up in fluorescent red. You know, chief shepherd gonna appear. Leader's going to give an account. The counting here is kind of interesting because it says, let them do this with joy and not with grief, because this would be unprofitable. So if I sit down to King Jesus in the time and we go back down through the list, because that's what's going to happen, isn't it? We're going to sit down, go over it together, right? Sorry, Jesus, this one took a left turn here. Sorry, these ones bailed. But you know what? These guys, they stuck with it. They did it. They went on, they built and expanded. That's the account you want to be able to give with joy. You know, the sad truth is a lot of people start, but not finished. The way Jesus put it, many are called, but few are chosen. See, I look at old pictures. Lots of people faltered before the finish. Didn't have enough fight. Paul said, I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. I finished the course. It's a fight. Obey your leaders. I mean, back to 1 Peter. So, if you're going to have shepherds, you got to have some sheep. Well, I started the congregation in Bozeman in 1972. Just my wife, Lana, two kids, newborn and not quite two yet. It's all I had. somebody asked me, he said, well, how much time do you spend preparing your sermon? I said, well, doesn't do me any good to prepare a sermon, don't have anybody to preach to. So instead of spending time preparing a sermon, what should you be doing? Now finding sheep, lost sheep. Now you spend your time out there searching, seeking, finding lost sheep. You don't ever have to worry about sermon preparation. You got more than enough material every week. More than enough. Keep office hours? Well, sheep are out there. But what about the sheep? Well, verse 5 there, 1 Peter 5:5, he said, you younger men, likewise, he said, be subject to your elders. All of you. He said, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God's opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Any of you girls here play volleyball? Any volleyball players here? Well, imagine if you're going to be on a volleyball team, right? Okay? Show up and say, you know, I like to serve. So, if you don't mind, I'm just going to take the position of server on the team. Is that the way volleyball works? No. You rotate, right? You know, I'm just going to take this section over here on the edge. I'll just cover this little area right here. Is that how it works? No. If you're on a team, you lose yourself, right? It's about what you want. It's about play your position. Work in tandem. That's what teamwork's all about. One thing that athletics can teach you is teamwork. It's not about you, son. Not about you, sis. Team, right? Team. 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 Right? Otherwise, what happens? You get smoked. That's what happens. It's called team sports for a reason. Well, the church is a team. God has his own special name for the team. He calls it the body of Christ, doesn't he? It's got right arms, got left arms, got ears, got nose, got eyes, got feet, got mouth. It's got a head. Got a coach. Got shepherds. And it's got sheep. So, I've always thought about Moses. It's kind of interesting. You know, Moses comes into town, you know, comes back to the old haunts, Pharaoh's palace. And of course, we read about it a little bit, how he comes in and he says, I'll use King James here, pre-King James. Jehovah says, you got to let my people go. Of course, Pharaoh says, now who is this Jehovah? I should obey his voice? Well, he's going to find out, isn't he? But like was brought out, when Pharaoh said, okay, you guys going to keep the same quota of bricks, but you know what? You're going to get your own straw. They're having trouble making the quota, right? And what's happened to the foreman? They're getting whipped. So how popular is Moses' name about this point? You made it worse, Moses. You said we're going to get out of here, and you're making it worse. So let's say at that instant Moses tries to get Israel out of Egypt. What's going to happen? Nobody's going to follow. So what God did, because Moses has God's backing, because God's the one who went and recruited Moses in the first place, right? He says, what we're going to do, we're going to run some plagues through here. By the time we get through with these plagues, two things are going to happen. Number one, I'm going to show my superiority over all the gods worshipped by the Egyptians. But number two, when we get done, when you say go, Moses, they're going to go. When the dead bodies of the Egyptians are laying on the top of the Red Sea floating there, Bible says that Israel believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Even then, how well did they do in the wilderness? Okay. God backs the shepherds. He said, you know, let's look at Acts chapter 20 for just a second. Let's talk about the shepherds at Ephesus. Notice I've lightened up on the term. I've moved away from sheepherder to shepherds here. Just an upgrade. So Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Says, be on guard for yourselves and all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Okay, that's a pretty valuable set of sheep there that got purchased with Jesus' blood. I mean, they're not just woolies. You know, they're valuable. But who made these guys overseers? Well, the Holy Spirit does. See, when we function in accordance with the Scripture and have men who are truly qualified as shepherds, almost shepherds. When they qualify as shepherds, the Holy Spirit is the one who puts them in the oversight position. When you function according to Scripture, you're doing what the Holy Spirit wanted. When you think, well, the Lord spoke to me the other night, and you know, he told me what? That is not the Holy Spirit. You think the Lord talks to you, you know, you need to read this guy. It's always interesting to me. These people that think the Lord talks to them, how come he never gets the plan of salvation right? You'd think the first thing that he'd get right is the plan of salvation, wouldn't you? No, when we do what the Scripture says, that's the Holy Spirit setting things in motion. We just got to be sure we function in accordance with the Scriptures. So that's why, going back to 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, why don't you, all of you, if you got guys that the Holy Spirit put in as elders, we'll be subject to them. You know, Hebrews says they keep watch over your soul. They're trying to guide you in the right direction, trying to get you on good feed, get you some good salt, keep the wolves and the coyotes out of there. You know, move you to a little bit better pasture if you need to. That's what they're doing. I ain't going. I like it down here in the brush. I like the easy route. I ain't going. Oh, saints wouldn't do that, would they? I'm running my own program over here. Brethren, a time is increasingly coming. I think they're getting ready to the move toward digital currency. I was talking to Benoit. They've had digital currency in India for a while, right? Cashless? Pretty minimal, yeah. Digital currency, they track every transaction. They is garnering a slip of $20 in some poor old sheepherder's pocket. Every transaction is monitored. They want your bank account, it's gone. Your social credit score isn't good enough, you're gone. You're buying the wrong kind of food, Too much sugar and not enough bugs? Bank account's gone? It's where we're headed. I don't know when. I mean, I know everything in the banking system is all ready for it. I mean, they've put the finishing touches on it in 2023. Are we going to be playing silly games? Having our nose out of joint just a little bit because of this or because of that? Come on. This thing's got to be a lot bigger than that. It's where humility comes in. Humility says, okay, sometimes my personal preferences are just, I mean, okay. Sometimes we just got to do what we got to do to make this thing work. You know, I've been preaching for over 50 years, and I've never had enough qualified personnel ever to get done what we need to get done. Ever. Somehow God gets it done. But from a human perspective, never had enough qualified personnel to get it done. You do what you got. Remember when we were starting the congregation in Missoula? We had a foundry right here, and then we had us off Clark Street. In summertime, it'd be same temperatures outside. Wintertime, it'd be 10 degrees warmer than it was outside. So at minus 25, that means it's minus 15, right? Did what we had to get where we need to go. Sometimes it's just tough. Bozeman, one time we sold our old church building, purchased property, we didn't have it anything yet. So we were meeting in an abandoned greenhouse. Oh, Jennifer's nodding her head. Yeah, she remembers. Wasn't any bathroom in there, only light or heat. And early September, big old cold wave come through, dumped about 14 inches in Bozeman, temperature about 20 degrees. The only bathrooms were at the bus depot across the street. So here you got the moms hauling. Do what you got to do, and you don't whine about it either. I did a meeting one time in Phoenix. And the preacher said, you gotta come over here to the First Christian Church. He said, the building was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. So you walk to the building, here's this about 2.5-ton stone set above the door, and you walk in. Turquoise carpet. Preacher liked turquoise. Thick, plush carpet on the floor, up over the pews. The floor, up over the pew. You know what? I bet there are even people complaining about that. You know? First wife, Lana, she used to have a picture of some wolf cubs up on the refrigerator, you know, magnet holding it in place there. You know, one of them was kind of looking over here. But the other four were howling at the moon. And the picture had a sign on it that said, no whining. No, I mean, do you have a little tendency to complain or whine? Just go back and take a read of the book of Numbers. People became like those who have complained of adversity, right? In the presence of the Lord. And their carcasses fell in the wilderness, didn't they? No, why? Look, we got to do what we got to do. From the beginning, I tried to always impress upon the people I worked with everywhere, said, look, my job is to prepare you for the jail cell, the concentration camp, or the torture chamber, and to come through there successfully. Still our job. Jail cell, concentration camp, or torture chamber. Don't think that that can't happen. It can happen in a quick hurry. You know, I've preached for years, said, look, watch Venezuela, watch Venezuela. What's happened in Venezuela is coming to the U.S. It's just about 15 years later, that's all. Starvation. Look, if we have to meet underneath a bridge for the Lord's Supper, we're going to meet underneath a bridge. You do what you got to get done. You don't complain about it. And you work with the church leadership to make it happen. I don't like this bridge. You know, there's one about 18 miles down the road. It's a little bit better. Clothe yourselves with humility. It's called what needs to be done. What needs to be done? And how do you want it done? That's equally important. How do you want it done? I don't know. I kind of like being the loose cannon of the congregation. You know what loose cannons are? Or cannons used to break loose on the deck of a ship. And so when it goes off, you never know what's going to shoot. Okay, that's what a loose cannon is. Okay. My role is the loose cannon of the congregation. No. What do you want done, and how do you want it done? Two equally important questions. How do you want it done? It's humility. Well, the way I do it. Well, I was talking to an old boy one time. He said he got hired on at 18. The only job he could find, the depression was just over. He got hired to drive a car for a fairly well-off businessman. Busy guy. And businessman told him, he said, now, you're the driver. I'm the rider. And I tell you where to go and when. But he says, a couple things. He says, I want that windshield always clean. I want that car clean. And he says, I don't want the gas tank ever to get below one half full. Do you think he had reasons for those things? Well, I'm the driver and I do things differently. You think that's going to work? You know, we got a workforce today that shows up when they want to, dressed when they, how they want to dress, do what they want to do, and they don't do what they don't want to do. And you wonder why the Hispanics are taking over all the jobs, you guys. Because they'll work. You've been trained playing video games in your basement. You're not having any toughness to get out there and do the actual job. I'm reading a book about Virginia City and Bannock, Montana, gold mining camps in the early 1860s, where the roughs and the toughs are coming in. Those were hardy guys. Imagine, Virginia City, Montana is the richest placer is stuff in the creek bottom, richest placer gold strike in the world. Thing is, the gold was about 15 feet down in the sand. So these guys are having to dig down through the sand to get to the gold on the bottom. You want to do that in 50 below weather? How about shoveling? Any you rough, tough boys think you want to arm wrestle those guys? That same toughness is what we need inside the body of Christ. Humble, what needs to be done? And how do you want it done? And then get it done. So he says in verse 6, he said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. You know, the best thing that a person could ever want to hear is King Jesus saying, well done. Not well-intentioned. Well done, good and faithful slave. That's what you want to hear. You don't need the accolades of men. You don't need the applause or the praise or the recognition or even being known as an influencer. What you want to hear is King Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful slave." It's going to take humility. Bible says that God places the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. So how about getting placed and staying put when you get placed there? Sheep think that the grass is kind of greener over there, don't they? Yeah, a tendency to think it's greener. No, it's what the shepherd's for. Now here's the feed you need. Oh, Mel Hirsch, Bozeman, passed away. His memorial service was yesterday. I think Mark and Katie and Jennifer got to watch it. You know, Mel and I go clear back to 1974. Mel was a good guy. Hands-on painter. Moved to Bozeman in 1974, started a paint shop. Times got tough. I mean, the building industry in Bozeman just went in the tank. Benjamin Moore agreed to carry him a little bit. Mel one time made the statement. He said, "You know, you're not done until you say you're done." See, coming from a guy like Mel, that means something. I just, you know, what do you mean? Is, you know, until you say I quit, where you're not quitting yet. Mel was like that to the end. To the end. Crippled old guy, couldn't see. Hit family camp. Hit the assembly until he was in the hospital. He's right. He wasn't done until he said he was done. Tough. So Mel and his wife Judy moved into town, and I had a contact, so I drug him along to the people I was having study with. And I'm going through some stuff, and I hit one. Mel, he was pretty hot about it. He said, "You should have asked my permission before you went through that material with me." I said, "Mel," I said, "did I ask your permission when I started this?" "No," I said, "when we went through the plan of salvation, did I ask your permission?" "No." I said, "covered the stuff on the Holy Spirit, did I ask your permission?" He said, "No." "Talking about the church and the second coming, did I ask your permission?" He said, "No." "So why are you upset at this?" See, but appreciated Mel because he was a humble guy. He said, "You know, yeah, maybe I didn't need to hear this." When he first heard the stuff on the new creation, because he came out of a Christian church in Corbett, Oregon, he said the hackles on the back of his neck stood up because he never heard that before. See, but he didn't get mad and he didn't stomp out. See, he stayed with it till he either understood it or thought it was wrong. Humble guy. Tough. You know, my first wife, Lana, and I are so grateful to Mel and Judy. You know, we had to buy milk, powdered milk, in 50-pound sacks or 100-pound sacks because we couldn't afford to buy milk at the store. We'd dose it up with a little bit of Mexican vanilla. Okay. See, but Mel and Judy, when times got really tough, here's a little help you out. Need new carpet in the house? Couldn't afford it. Mel and Judy put carpet in. Painted a house on the inside. Didn't have to. Just trying to be team players. See, wherever you're at in the body of Christ, do your job and do it well. But do it. See, Mel, he'd come and ask me, he said, hey, you know, what do you think? Job need to be done. Say, what do we want to do it? And then how do we want it done? See, he was that kind of guy. Appreciate it. It's what you need. Nobody has to be flashy. Nobody. Sheep are not flashy or fancy. Okay, they're not. But boy, like Steve Doty was talking about loyalty, good sheep are loyal. They are loyal to the cause of Christ, and they're loyal in their commitment to the local congregation. It's what you need. Evangelists, we're no good without a lot of really good sheep. We're worthless. Haven't got some really good sheep working with you. Absolutely worthless. So, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He'll exalt you at the proper time. If you have any anxieties or any problems with this, you know, I always picture myself, me and God are neighbors. Got kind of a nice fence between us, low fence, just kind of a nice decorative fence between us and good neighbors. And good neighbors. And, you know, anytime I have any trash, I just throw it over in his yard. He said, I could. He said, you know, you got some anxiety, you got some things bothering you. He said, throw it over in my yard. He said, I care for you. Well, all the sheep get to live right next to him, don't they? You got things that bother, are there ever church issues that bother you? Yeah, there are. Okay. Some things you're a little nervous about, you know, you got to take the next step or something. You know, got to be a few changes in the congregation. I mean, you know, my plan is to be out of Great Falls on Lord's Days by the end of December and out of Great Falls on Wednesday nights by the end of May. Okay, well, that's some changes for the congregation. I mean, I've been working hard there, you know, really since 1976. Really hard since 2003, but okay, it's going to be a few changes. Could be a little anxiety there. Well, what's it? Throw it over in my yard. See, once you toss it over in his yard, you don't have to worry about it. I can go, you know, I look at me, you and God are partners. You're the senior partner, and I got to get some sleep tonight, so on you. And he invites that. That's the exciting thing. I didn't force it on. He said, yeah, you do that. Shepherds and sheep. Shepherds aren't much without sheep. Sheep aren't much without shepherds. But you put sheep and shepherds together, with the great shepherd in charge, you got an absolute winning combination that nothing in this world can stop. God delights in taking sheep and having them be the mighty, victorious army. Because it shows the power is his and not the sheep. So what do you say? Sheep, how about if we stand here? Go ahead and stand up. You got two legs. What do you say, sheep, that we rise up and conquer, huh? So I know that camp isn't quite finished yet, but I thought I'd like to throw a little camp yell in here, if the camp director's permission, loose cannon operating here. Go for it. All right, good. You heard it. I got it. We want to do conquerors for Christ, right? So on the count of three times, conquerors for Christ. One, two, three. Conquerors for Christ. Conquerors for Christ. Conquerors for Christ. Go get them.